This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Medicare is our country's health insurance program for people age 65 and older, but with parts A, B, C, D, and all the elements those entail, it can be confusing to figure out. Later in the show, we'll have advice on what seniors should be looking for when choosing Medicare plans during open enrollment. But first, nurses have long been in the front lines of health care, and with millions of more people having access to medical care after passage of the Affordable Care Act, the demand for qualified nurses is increasing dramatically. There's also a continued need for nurse practitioners, who are taking on more and more responsibilities as primary care providers. Here to look at the changing role of nurses and nurse practitioners are Dr. Karen Bankston, Associate Dean of Clinical Practice at the University of Cincinnati College of Nursing, Patricia Atkins, Director of Clinical Services Long-Term Acute Care at the Daniel Drake Center for Post-Acute Care, and Kimberly Harrell, a nurse in the Medical Surgical Intensive Care Unit at Good Samaritan Hospital, who is now studying to be a nurse practitioner. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And good afternoon, everybody. Good to see everybody.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Karen, can you start off by telling us how many nurses there are in the U.S. and how does that compare with other groups of clinicians in the country?
Well, there are approximately, and I'm kind of giving you a big guess here because I've not looked at that, but I know that recent data shows there are about 8 million registered professional nurses in America. And as it relates to other professions, that number might sound relatively large because you don't have as many of the other types of providers as you do registered nurses for a lot of reasons. But it's still not enough. There's still much more of a need in our communities across the country for registered professional nurses. And the University of Cincinnati College of Nursing is working hard to try to make that happen.
Are we facing a nursing shortage?
Well, you know, it's interesting. People talk about this whole idea of a nursing shortage. And we have a nursing shortage if you look at it particularly from a delivery of care perspective. But we don't have a nursing shortage if you look at it just from pure numbers. We probably have more licensed registered nurses now than we've had in decades. However, the opportunities for registered nurses are much more broader than they've ever been before. So nurses are not just in the delivery care settings. So you have nurses that are working in the pharmaceutical field. You have nurses that are working in IT. You have nurses that are working in business. You have nurses who are running organizations. And so because of the broad amount of skills that a nurse has, we find ourselves not having as many nurses who are really in the caregiving aspect of it. And so that's why it looks like a shortage. It's not like the shortages that we had in the 70s and the 80s and the 90s.
Let's open this question up to everybody, since you're all in the nursing profession. How has the role of nurses changed over the years? And Kimberly, let's start with you. What have you seen from your perspective?
Goodness, well, I've only been a nurse for 4 years, so I'm quite a baby in comparison to these well-established professionals. But just for me, as long as I've been practicing, I think that nurses are coming out of the gate a lot stronger. I think there's a lot more autonomy off the bat. I don't know if it's a personality thing or if it's the way that I was trained at UC and the learning that I accomplished. But I think that new grads, especially and younger nurses stepping into nursing roles, are a lot more confident and feel comfortable speaking their mind and caring for patients, whether that's a good thing or not, I'm not sure. But over the years, I really can't speak to. Like I said, I'm still pretty new at it, but I've seen a lot of comfort and great care being given by a lot of young people who are fresh out of nursing school. So it's been really great to see.
Patricia, what about you? What are the changes that you've seen?
Well, since I began my career, I think nursing has gone through several different models, and that would be from a team perspective to a primary care model, back to a team perspective. But the focus has always been the delivery of care at the bedside. That's where the care was delivered. That's how we were taught to deliver this care at the bedside. Over the years, as Kimberly mentioned, it's now broadened, and nurses are now getting more autonomy, more ability to make decisions about the patient's care as opposed to just carrying out the task, actually being asked to participate in the care plan for the patient, as opposed to historically, these are the tasks, complete these for the day. So we do have a much better seat at the table when it comes to patient care.
I love that. I love that aspect of it. That's why I'm so proud to do what I do. That's why I love nursing. I wouldn't do anything else for that reason. I love that part of it. I'm so proud of that.
You've decided to become a nurse practitioner, so yes. That's what you're studying.
Correct.
Why did you make the decision to become a nurse practitioner?
It's interesting. Even as I was going through my undergrad at UC, it was always in the back of my mind. I knew that I would always go back. I wanted to get a few years of practice in at the bedside. I think that's very important. It's just a personal belief of mine to learn about patients, families, how to interact with people, gain a better knowledge base of practice. And then I wanted to go back to learn even more and shift gears and get on more of the care provision side and work with patients and their families, not in the intensive care setting, but on a day-to-day basis, more in the primary care setting. And I love to learn. I love being a Bearcat. I love being a nurse. So I just, I had to.
And I think that's really one of the biggest changes that we've seen or when we talk about the last 40 years. Because I'm in my 40th year.
I can't believe that, Karen.
Yay!
That's amazing. You're not that old.
Yay! Unfortunately so. Or fortunately.
Good.
But that's probably the biggest change. And that is when I graduated, nurses were to do and not necessarily be heard. And we did, okay? But when we think about it in the context of how healthcare was provided at that time, it was a very paternalistic, patriarchal kind of organization in terms of delivery. So we did what the physicians said, and at that time, most physicians were men. So fast forward to today, and we talk about advanced practice nurses, nurses who have master's degrees or higher, and nurse practitioners, you now have nurses who have been educated to a level to do population management so that they're not only looking at individuals, they're not only being present and doing, they're also being heard because now they're being a part of the decision related to a population of individuals. So it's very different from, you know, this is funny. I'm sure if there are any nurses in my genre out there, they'll know what I'm talking about. When I graduated from nursing school, and if you were sitting at a desk documenting, as we call it now, it was charting back then, now they on a computer, and a physician came into the area, you got up, meaning you stood up. And the physician sat down and did what he did, and then you could sit down. So it was very much a militaristic kind of an environment back then. You know, we didn't call people by their first names. I mean, it was very, very militaristic, and the patients expected us to just tell them what to do, and that's what they did. Now, all of that's changed now. All of that's changed.
It's much more collaborative
it's
nowadays.
It's much
isn't
more
it?
Collaborative. Patients come as individuals with a more consumer mindset. They have some idea of what to expect. They know what they want. They've looked it up on the internet. I mean, you know, it's just a very, very different way now that we have to think as professional nurses as we're interacting not only with our physician colleagues, but also with the consumers.
And the nurse needs to be much more educated with regards to the patients, not only his or her presenting illness, but the treatment plan as well. Because, like Karen was saying, the patients know. So when the patient is questioning now about their medication, we need to know exactly what they're talking about, as opposed to before, like we were pill passers. But now we need to be able to explain it to the patient's understanding, because the patient has already looked it up. And what we want to be certain of is that they have the most accurate information, because, you know, once you access the internet, you access everything. It could be right, it could be wrong. So we need to make certain that we're aware of everything that's involved with that medication or their treatment, so that when they ask us a question, we can answer it accurately and more informed, so keep them and their knowledge accurate.
So does the proliferation of online information, as Patricia's talking about, does that also lead to a different role for nurses? Now maybe there's somebody who says, these are spots where you can go for good information. Don't go here. You're going to get bad information. This is what this means. You become more of an interpreter at that point.
Well, absolutely. You know, the whole direct-to-consumer marketing activity that started with pharmaceutical companies, I think, began to transition how delivery of care needed to change for all providers, the nurses, pharmacists, physicians, et cetera, because we now have this more informed consumer. And when we say informed consumer, it doesn't necessarily mean that they understand the information that they have, but they have the information. And so subsequently, it means that the registered nurses, particularly those that are advanced practice, which both of my colleagues are, that are in advanced practice roles, they really have to understand what's out there, what's available to the clients that they're serving, and then how can they interpret that information to their patients and to their patients' families in a way that they can best make an informed decision so that they can have the best patient outcome.
Kimberly, what's the training been like to become a nurse practitioner?
Intense. in a really good way.
Okay.
I recognize the importance of being adequately prepared. And I think I had prepared myself for that going through the undergrad baccalaureate program. I'm a full-time student, so for me, it's been at least 10 credit hours a semester, and we're on semesters now, so it's a full 2 years, and I'm a little over halfway through. So it's in classroom, lots of didactic, heavy clinical experience with preceptors and actual patient care, similar to undergrad, but just completely different role for nursing, which has been incredibly eye-opening and interesting, and I've learned more, I think, than I ever thought that I could in the past year and a half. It's been fantastically challenging.
Long hours, long days, I take it?
Yeah, but nurses are used to that. That's all we do.
That's true.
There's nothing new there. And it's patient interaction, which is my favorite part, and talking to people and teaching them and having them teach you. It's just been a great learning experience.
We will continue our conversation about the changing role of nurses and nurse practitioners after the break. And later in the show, knowing the A, B, C's, and D of Medicare. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Caney. My guest this afternoon as we talk about nursing are Dr. Karen Bankston from the University of Cincinnati College of Nursing, Patricia Atkins with the Daniel Drake Center for Post-Acute Care, and Kimberly Harrell from Good Samaritan Hospital. You can join the conversation, 513-419-7100. Email talk at wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Interesting question we had coming in asking about the online medical advice. Are some of these established sites, are they the worst thing to happen to healthcare providers?
I don't think so. I know that some of my physician colleagues don't necessarily like them because, you know, they may have a difference of opinion than what they have related to whatever the questions may be. I will tell you that not all of those sites provide the consumer with accurate information, so you really do have to be careful. But there are some that have very strong individuals who are responding to the questions and have very, very good information based on the scientific evidence for whatever it is that they're looking for. But you really do have to be careful. And I would suggest that they still take that information and have the dialogue with their nurse practitioner or their physician to get to see clarity and not just take that information to make their decisions.
And Patricia, as long as we're talking about the digital world, how has all this technology changed nursing?
It has made nursing more aware of where the patients are and what the patients are experiencing because they are able to access this information. And like Karen was saying, whether it's accurate or not accurate, the patient comes with that information. So the nurse now has to be just as aware of some of the sites, the referred sites, as well as some of the sites that may not have the most accurate information, and then be able to sit down with the patient or the patient's family and go through that information with them. So that, again, they have a good understanding of what they've read and what they've seen.
Now, being new to nursing, Kimberly, you're probably more accustomed to all the technology and all the digital age. What's your take on it?
You know, it goes both ways. I think it has a tendency to be very confusing sometimes and a bit overwhelming and detract from bedside care, which we were kind of discussing prior to the show, because you've got a lot of things to do and a short amount of time to do it, and you're trying to focus on doing everything correctly and charting right in the computer and looking up certain information in a very particular way. But on the flip side, with younger professionals being so well-versed in technology in general, it makes it a lot easier for us to get things done. So I think it depends on the situation. It can go either way. I quite enjoy electronic charting specifically. I've been doing it for a couple years, and I've really learned how to use it to my advantage. But for people who didn't grow up with it and are not used to having a smartphone and can't, you know, I grew up learning how to type without looking at the keyboard. So for me, it's just been a natural progression of my nursing care, but it can be a bit cumbersome and difficult to use at times. But I try not to let it, like I said, detract from my care.
Karen, nurses, they're the primary point of information for patients, especially in hospital settings. Is this something that they're taught about in school?
Yes, it is. One of the most important pieces of education that a professional nurse gets is related to the nurse being an advocate for their patient. And in order for that nurse to be a patient advocate, they have to certainly understand what's going on with the plan of care. Not just what the diagnosis is, not just what's wrong with the patient from a physical or spiritual or emotional or psychological perspective, but what else is going on in that person's life post that hospitalization, because as the person's nurse, you're going to help to plan that. And so they learn that and have to, it's interesting as we're talking about this, and I'm kind of like thinking and talking at the same time. That's crazy. But that's a talent.
Nurses are very good multitaskers.
That's right. I teach a class on leadership to graduating nursing students, and we were talking about that whole idea of advocacy. And one of the things that becomes very important in being able to do that is to understand your patients and your patients' family's values, so that you can integrate what it is that they're feeling related to their particular situation in the plan of care, so that when they're going home or if they have to go to an extended facility or whatever, that you're helping to make that transition as positive as possible. So it is a very important part of their role.
What role has the Affordable Care Act had in changing the role of nurses?
Yeah, you were in my class. Because I asked the students that, what do you think the nurse's role is in understanding the Affordable Care Act, as well as what is the nurse's role in understanding the financing of healthcare in particular? And, a long time ago, a nurse might say, I really don't care about that at all, because it really is about the manager or the vice president or whatever. That's their job. I don't get paid to do that, et cetera, et cetera. That's not the case anymore, because if you're really going to advocate not only for your patients, but advocate for the profession as well, then you've got to really pay attention to all the laws and the rules that govern the industry itself. And so when we think about what's going on with the Affordable Care Act and the way that it has extended the access to care, and it has extended and enhance the use of advanced practice nurses, then nursing really should be concerned about this. And we should really understand it so that we can optimize any of those governing rules that are out there to the best of our ability, as a profession, to ensure that these patients are going to get what they need and that our consumers are going to get what they need.
I think it's your responsibility too. I mean, it's your profession. You should want to feel empowered by knowledge and knowing what's going on and what's changing. So
that's
I think it's incredibly important.
And one of the things for me was, when we heard from the president that there needed to be more nurse practitioners. In any other campaign speeches that I've ever heard of, we talked about physicians and the medical model and, doctors needing to have this ability and that ability. And this was the first time that I had heard actually said advanced practice nurses, nurse practitioners at the forefront, taking care of these patients who now have access to insurance, access to care. But then do we have the right people available for them? Because we can overcrowd a system if we don't have the nurse practitioners available to see these patients and provide that level of care that they're going to be needing at that primary level. And so I was very proud when I heard that, because that certainly boosted my profession to heights that I hadn't heard in my career. And I've been a nurse for 30 years, and I was waiting for that. I'm like, yes, there we are. We're at the table.
Well, she brings up a good point when she talks about having the appropriate number of people. So we're very happy to have, you know, a young and upcoming nurse practitioner here with us, because the fact is that nurses as a profession, we're getting old.
Yes.
You know, the average age of a practicing nurse in the state of Ohio is close to 50. And the average age of nursing faculty is around 57 or 58. So at the same time that we need individuals to come into the profession to be nurses to provide care, we also need nurses to come into to the profession and go on and get advanced degrees. I have a PhD, to get advanced degrees such as that so that they can be faculty. So we as a profession have a lot to do in order to ensure that all of the things that have been either legislated or proposed as a part of the Affordable Care Act and other pieces of legislation and interests that are coming out of D.C. really are playing a part in our decision-making related to helping to get a pipeline, which is what we talked about last time I was on your show, a pipeline of individuals who are interested in nursing as a profession.
Well, and with the Affordable Care Act giving millions more people access to health care, there's going to be a greater need for nurse practitioners.
Absolutely.
I would think.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. 513-419-7100 if you'd like to join our conversation. Let's talk with Monica in Cincinnati. Good afternoon, Monica. You're on Cincinnati Edition.
Hi, thank you. Good afternoon. And the previous discussion is a perfect segue into my question. As a little background, I am a registered nurse and then graduated with my family nurse practitioner degree in '96 from the University of Cincinnati. So I do know some of your panel today. It's nice to hear this conversation. The question I have or the comment is exactly what we were just talking about. You know, the new grads are really key to care. I am in management now, and we hire a lot of new grads in the state of Ohio, and we have unnecessary barriers still, in layers of unnecessary barriers around our prescriptive privileges, and that is an externship that has been kind of dictated to us that we have to have a certain amount of oversight by physicians once we graduate, and it's unique to the state of Ohio, and very few other states. I think there maybe are two others that have similar requirements, but most states, when you graduate, you can start prescribing on your own. And in, I know, state of Ohio, again, there's this externship with a certain amount of hours that you have to have direct supervision by a physician. And also, after a certain number of hours, that can also be a nurse practitioner, thankfully. And they did get skinny down a couple of years ago, but it's still, again, an outlier compared to the rest of the country. If my history is correct, we had one of the first nursing colleges in the state, in the country, yet we still have some of these restrictions put on us by the Ohio Medical Association. So back to the advocacy about advocating for our profession. That oversight is described as under the same roof, so frequently there's not even chart reviews. There's not a physician that's doing a chart review or even seeing if we're prescribing, quote-unquote, safely. And the state of Ohio, compared to the rest of the states, we've not seen any, like, oh, this has led to a huge difference in any kind of, you know, errors in prescribing or anything like that. So it's a really kind of an unnecessary barrier that's been placed on us. And as a profession, I think we really need to continue to work together to remove, I mean, a lot has changed to the previous conversation, but there's still some things that we really need to move the needle on. And to have new grads filling these roles and really serving our community, which is what it's all about, some of these, we need to work together to make our prescriptive privileges comparable to the rest of the country.
And Karen or Patricia, Kimberly, anybody want to comment?
I think it's a great point. You know, we throughout this program have been talking about all the strides that we've made, but that's an amazing point is what still needs to be done and areas for improvement. I know personally I need to continue to educate myself, and I would love to get involved in speaking with other nurse practitioners and how we can make things better, because I'm graduating with a whole crop of young men and women that are interested in the exact same thing. So I think it's a fantastic point. It's a bit frustrating, to say the least, but certainly, if we can be behind some sort of change, I think that's a great mindset. I do. I need to learn about it a little bit more myself, but it's a great point.
Right.
Right. And the caller mentioned it. I mean, she mentioned everything that's still out there and things that barriers that we still have and barriers that we still face. And so the solution is out there somewhere. Can we find it? I think we need to lobby together, mm-hmm. and our voices need to be heard. We've been able to get some small changes, increment changes, because before it was even more strict than it is now, even to prescribing the narcotics. So there, it's opening up, but it's still opening up a lot slower than it could be as compared to other states. She is correct.
Yes, I want to add to that. I think that, and thank you for bringing this topic up, because I think it is one that is very, very important that as a country, we do not have uniformity as it relates to the use and the practice, the scope of practice of the advanced practice nurse. And one of the other things that followed the signing of the Affordable Care Act was a report that was led by Donna Shalala with a lot of very intelligent people, and it's the future of nursing. It was charged by the Institute of Medicine and the National Institute of Health. And one of the things that it talks about is really trying to get some standardization as it relates to these rules. You know, it's sad that Ohio has been one of the slower states as it relates to how advanced practice nurses are utilized, et cetera. I think we were like number 48 to get prescriptive authority. So I imagine we'll be challenged as we continue to work through these processes to get the other extensions that are going to be needed in order to meet the things that are in the Future of Nursing report.
Monica, thank you for your question and your comments. And Patricia, it seems to me the role of nursing is ever evolving, isn't it?
Yes.
What's the future of nursing look like?
I see the future of nursing as independent practitioners. Karen and I have had these conversations over the years as opposed to should the nurse be an employee or should the nurse be an independent practitioner and contracted to provide hospital services. And I see it heading in that direction. As we move further and further away from the bedside, the nurse will be contracted just like the physician to provide that level of care. And that's where I see the future of nursing going. I won't be there, but I certainly see it heading in that direction.
And we have to end on that note. Thank you very much. Karen, Pat, and Patricia and Kimberly, thank you for joining me this afternoon.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Karen Bankston, Associate Dean of Clinical Practice at the University of Cincinnati College of Nursing. Patricia Adkins, Director of Clinical Services, Long-Term Acute Care at the Daniel Drake Center for Post-Acute Care. And Kimberly Harrell, a nurse in the Medical Surgical Intensive Care Unit at Good Samaritan Hospital, who is now studying to be a nurse practitioner.